into the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. Johnson. TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Spider-Vamps, making Zach wet his pants. Gonna murder all the cops. They're so blunt, they'll never stop. Oh yeah,
why can't they crawl on walls?
Hey guys, welcome to the Strain After Show here on AfterBuzz TV, talking about Season 2, Episode 6, Identity. I hope you'll permit us a bit of fun at the top of this show, because, as we all know, there's no conceivable good reason that these little spider kids can crawl up walls.
I'm telling you, and I've said it before, and I will say it again. They were abducted during snack time,
nope.
And their hands are coated in peanut butter that happens to be extra strong.
Steven, I should not have to explain to you that peanut butter lacks the tensile strength to hold a child up on a wall.
Theory number two, nope. They were interrupted testing how many licks it takes to get to a Tootsie Roll.
Shouldn't
and
matter.
They're blind, so it's all over their hands,
what
and they can climb
was,
on walls.
What if it was Skippy peanut butter mixed with honey?
No! Just legitimately, no.
Studies show that blind kids love Nutella. So what
okay.
if it was actually
now
Nutella?
You're just offensive.
What about
no.
fluff?
I would argue that all of those things have less,
I haven't thought of
less
that.
Tensile strength than the original peanut butter. Do you have anything to care? You care to add, Jackie?
I think it's justified that they can climb on walls.
Fair enough.
What if the worms are springing out of their fingers and hooking onto the walls?
That's something. Show us that.
They were watching the Lego movie and they found a tube of the crackle.
No. Jackie Borowski's here. Steven Lemieux's here. Zach Wilson's here.
Hey,
panel at full strength. This was a fun and interesting episode.
We can cut the music now.
I think that last week's episode maybe was a bit stronger. But I do think that we got some forward motion on just about everything, even if it was just an inch forward. And it's definitely, the show's embracing its weird. I appreciate that. And I feel like it's embraced its weird and it's embraced the scary in the last 2 weeks in a way that it hasn't in a few episodes.
Well, you say embracing the weird. I say it's gone silly.
I don't know if it's gone silly. I just think they were trying to fill an episode. This felt like a filler episode.
Really?
Things happened, but like, they took too long to happen with actually what really happened in the episode. Because if you look at it, the only changes are really that the Master is now in Bolivar.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe Zach is a little bit more afraid of his mom.
Mm-hmm.
And Ephraim is now in D.C. alone. So he's still in D.C. before we had met this guy. So now he's just in D.C. after meeting
well,
this
guy.
Well,
now we know that Stoneheart Group is trying to assassinate him. As is evident by the Stoneheart Group logo on the telephone.
I always keep a Stoneheart Group logo in my wallet.
It's a company phone, guys.
I'm sorry, murder. People at my company have phones, and they're just normal iPhones. They don't have the company logo.
I would
on
never
them.
Put the company logo. Oh, crap. I used to have the company logo on my
phone. Oh, look. We're sending out a trained assassin to murder a bunch of people. We should put our logo on his phone.
Guys,
just so we can identify him.
He's a professional assassin. He's not going to get captured
he's
or killed.
He's just not. He's.
What if he dropped his cellular phone?
He would never do that. He's a professional.
He didn't know that he was messing with the head of the CDC.
Not the head of the CDC.
He didn't
never,
know.
Never,
you know,
never,
on his card
well,
it says, I can kill anyone
now.
Who's below the level of head of anything.
Maybe F got promoted, though.
He did not.
He probably
he,
did.
Like, long since fired. In fact,
through shaving his head, he's gotten agility plus two and was able to dodge the bullet.
Well, he certainly gained strength plus crazy last episode.
What if he made himself the head of the CDC?
He can't do that. There
I'm
is a
declaring
lot of
myself
what if he
the head
his,
of the CDC.
What if he forms his own CDC?
Well, since we are talking about Ephraim Goodweather, let's jump into the first part of the episode, which I have dubbed Ephraim Goodweather's DC sex trip.
Can it be a sex romp?
Sex romp.
A little bit
Ephraim
of a sex
Goodweather's
romp.
DC sex romp, where in the process of trying to get a company called Kemerol to mass produce his virus, his bioweapon, don't call it a bioweapon, says his now dead friend Rob. He gets paired up with a saucy DC not lobbyist woman who works for
Cougar.
Who works for Kemerol. No, well, no, she's not a cougar. She's dating someone who's age appropriate.
Yeah.
Cougars date people that are younger.
Yeah, she's dating someone.
But no, she is a lobbyist. I think she just does, like, right? That's what she does.
Yeah, she just doesn't want to deal with other lobbyists.
She just doesn't like the
title. I thought
she
worked for the company.
Yeah, she works for Kemerol. I don't think she's a lobbyist for Kemerol. I think she's...
Isn't that what a lobbyist is?
No, a lobbyist lobbies Congress to pass bills that will help your interest, whatever you're working for. So, like, there are lobbyists for everything. There are lobbyists for education. There are lobbyists for private companies, for military.
Yeah, I thought she was a lobbyist for Kemerol.
No,
I
think Rob is a lobbyist.
She must have been one of the people just working with Kemerol who looks for products to attain and distribute.
Sure. Yes. She's an executive at Kemerol. And F gets sloppily involved with her. That kissing was gross.
I was like, man, I didn't know F had a stinger too.
Look, it was their first kiss. Like,
it was a face swallow. Yeah.
They were clearly just on a different pace.
I guess. Yeah,
nobody
there's that one
on
like
that
they
pace.
Needed a few minutes to figure it's, out. It's like they got one in and then there was like a little miscommunication and then there was just full on just face swallow.
Where he's like, we're both gonna go wide for this like tongue thing, and then she kept it like it's like a regular
and I'm
kiss,
like,
and
is
then
there, is there something that I missed in a change in his and Nora's relationship where she officially was like, you know what, it's over, F, it's over. No,
not at all. And here's the thing: I was willing to side with F when he first slept with her because I think that there is a justification in that he may have felt he needed to do this to get the drug through.
Sure.
No.
I can justify
look, I'm
it.
Not
that's a Hollywood thing, not a DC thing. We
you know,
don't sleep with people for
sometimes
sex.
When your wife turns into a beast...
Ex-wife
turns into a beast, you feel the need to sleep with an attractive woman that's near you.
He does on the regular. Her name is Dr. Nora Martinez.
They have not slept together since this whole killing her best friend thing.
This was like a cheap shot plot line. They've been making out, like him and Nora have still been kissing... I just feel like they just threw this in to have some sort of, like, quasi-love triangle, or to make him sadder when she got shot in the end.
It felt like it was the Ephraim Goodweather James Bond storyline. He goes in undercover, makes love to a girl, and then she ends up dying, and he kills the assassin.
Yes, the name's Goodweather. Ephraim Goodwin.
The name is Sheedy Shee.
The name's
Head
Crowley.
Of the Sheedy
Shee.
James Crowley. I know it's John Crowley, but his aliases were always James something in the old Bond movies.
Smart.
The thing is, like, with this relationship, I didn't even get a vibe that they were, like, gonna hook up until Rob was like, here's the key.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
There's like, oh, do they have a connection now?
Everyone needs a friend like Rob, so when Rob's not around, you can sleep in his bedroom, apparently.
Look, Rob
apparently.
Is
because they were going right towards it.
Well, no, but then at the same time, he's calling Lee, worried about F, because he didn't show up last night, he gave him the keys to his house. I don't understand.
Whatever it was, Rob was a good wingman. For what seemed like no connection between these two people.
No.
Everyone needs a friend like Rob to get them laid with older women.
But
she's only older to you.
Yeah, she's his age, if not younger.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Thoroughly.
And she's attractive regardless.
Gorgeous.
No, she's good looking, yeah.
But
And smart and diligent and kind and a... kind of a good dancer.
And has a hole in her head.
A phenomenal dancer. Now, well, no, two holes in her chest.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Where Rob Efren has a hole in his head.
Rob has a hole in his head.
That's true.
But I don't have a problem with them hooking up, but I would have liked to see more of the decision. Like, we like Nora, so if he's gonna cheat on Nora, and, like, yeah, they're not exclusive. You can make that argument. But if he's going to do it, I want to see him struggle with that decision.
Yeah.
At the bare minimum.
But he's also drinking heavily, and he's also drunk.
But he's not. Like, he even said, like, he was drinking water in that first
scene. No, he was trying to keep his head clear, and then they sit down, and then he starts drinking.
Immediately.
Yeah. Like, yeah. But he wasn't acting drunk at all. He was completely, not even the slightest bit was that conveyed that he was drunk. And so his decision,
until the next morning,
but so his decision as it happens feels like he's totally in control of himself and he's making this as a calculated decision, or just like he just doesn't give a crap about Nora.
So here's what I thought was going to happen. And I know that this, I assume that this would have been a huge deviation from the books, but because F was off having a wonderful time sleeping with strangers and meeting with members of the National Guard and preparing to lobby. He doesn't do any of that in the books. I assumed that because while he's doing that, his freaking girlfriend, Dr. Nora Martinez, is busy protecting his son from his dead ex-wife. I thought she was going to get killed for his mistakes.
Hey,
and then he would realize that while he was off having cheap sex, she died protecting his boy.
Can't we just all agree that the cops are super inept in this show, and why the hell did she leave that late? It was daytime when she's like, it's getting late, and then the next scene, they're at, like, pitch black nighttime.
I don't know.
Doesn't she know better than to try to travel at night?
How big is Red Hook? They had to find some cool sneaks.
Look, traffic in New York is really bad.
Then stay the night and leave in the morning. Like, why are you trying to travel home at night with a cop that's inept?
Well, and how is this cop inept, but the cops on the task force aren't inept? Because wouldn't he be one of the task force cops since he was with Justine?
I thought he was one of the task force cops.
I hit someone, better get out of the car, because it's obviously not one of those creature things.
The door open.
And
idiot.
Then in another smart move, Nora tells Zach to run ahead in front of her. I was like, bad, bad, don't do that.
Well, no, but he like should make a break for it because they don't have, they have very limited weaponry.
Yeah, but shouldn't she be protecting him in said break for it?
Well, she's covering him. She's like going to keep shooting at the little spider creature while he gets away.
Yeah, but why didn't she cover him while he got into the front passenger seat of the still running, still working car, while she hopped into that driver's seat of the still running, still working car?
I don't have a good answer for that.
Because the kids can climb on walls.
Yes. Can you explain that?
I can't. Aside from Jif peanut butter.
I feel like there is an explanation as to why the kids can crawl on walls, because they have extra abilities that the other vampires don't, which is why they wanted to have blind kids so that all of their other senses were heightened. And maybe in vampire parlance, this means that they...
Enhanced sense of touch that allows you to cling to buildings?
Yes!
I'm sorry. There is a level of plausibility that I feel like the show has just exceeded.
Maybe it's something like that guy in...
It didn't exceed it, like, with a vampire virus.
Jackie just can't
situation.
Let it slip that they can shoot webs, too. She didn't want to spoil it for you.
I can hit the music again.
No, don't hit the music. No more music.
Maybe it's like that guy that Stanley's reality show found in, like, China or whatever, who's so hairless that, like, flat objects can just stick to his skin.
There you go. You know what? Explanation and peanut butter. No. So they go to the church.
And this, I'll admit, this was a really creepy, well-executed sequence. The shadows of the spider kids crawling up the stained glass, awesome. I'm like, this is great. This
and
is what I love
fast.
From this show. And they move crazy fast. Scary, but inexplicable.
Like dodging bullet fast, because like no one can hit them square. No.
Well, except for, well, not square, but Fett hit him.
It's like a bunch of miniature daredevils crawling on towards you.
Yeah.
It made me sad.
It's like a bunch of what?
Miniature daredevils crawling towards you.
I guess so.
Mm. But daredevils crossed with, like...
Spider-Man.
They reminded me of the demons that are, like, the eight balls on Dominion or from Legion. The way that they crawl is animated very similarly.
Oh.
And they do her bidding. They open up the door by crawling in and breaking through the stained glass. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Satan can get in the churches, and vampires can get in the churches. They're not afraid of no cross.
That's true. I ain't afraid of no cross.
Yeah.
Yeah. How did Nora and Zach escape that nursery? There was no second door.
Yep. Don't know.
I don't know. Man, you know what? They probably crawled on the walls because Nora took him straight out of snack time.
Was there not a second door?
Nope.
No. The only way that this could have gone down, which it seems unlikely, but it must be, even though they were right behind them, was they come into the nursery, she's looking all around, she sees the closet, she takes his scarf off, she throws it in the closet, tucks the end out, then they run out of the room and hide down the hall without the little spider kids smelling or hearing any of that. That is the only way that
was
could
it. Like
gone
maybe
down.
Connected to another room through like a side door.
Then why did Kelly bother
moving
the bookcase?
Yeah, why did she only go out the one door?
If it like opened up into a different hallway or something, maybe, like it's hard. It was moving very quickly. I couldn't like
maybe they
piece
just didn't show
the
us the other door. Maybe they just are leaving it to us assume that maybe there's a room in a building that has more than one door.
But that's the sheer problem with this show, is that all too often they leave it to us to assume things for sheer convenience. When we shouldn't have to be spoon-fed and we shouldn't have to assume. The events in this show should proceed logically.
I would have loved for them to go into the church to try to find safety because Cross has hurt them and then find out it's non-denominational and be like, no!
Oh, yeah. Unitarian?
Yeah, that would be pretty good. Crosses.
I don't think Cross has hurt them. I think it's just the silver cross.
Yeah, the silver crosses. Yeah.
Can I double back real quick? Well, let's talk about Fitzwilliam for a second. So our heroes show up.
Oh, my God, Fitzwilliam.
And Fitzwilliam...
I can't.
He was in action for maybe 30 seconds.
Action?
Yeah.
Like, maybe action. If you call that action.
He's apparently the only person in New York City that can kill a spider vamp.
Well.
And he busted into that church in, like, fine action hero
in, like,
form with the three of them.
24 season 4 action hero mode.
That wasn't even 24. That was, like, sort of, like, blockbuster style. Like, burst in the door at the last minute with, like...
I say 24 because he was on 24.
I mean, I hate to say it, but like the one major black character in this show that could have made a big difference and been like a badass gets bitten and decapitated within like the first episode of him joining the team.
He just got there. I'm livid.
This is Sleepy Hollow all over again.
Is this what happens in the books, Jackie?
Fitzwilliam is not even a part of the team in the books.
But like they built.
That's why this is such a bummer. It's like it was so exciting for me as a book reader to say, "What a cool decision!" Oh, never mind.
It's like this show, and I apologize, writers of this show, if you listen to this podcast. We obviously care deeply about this show; otherwise, we wouldn't be freaking out over problems. But this moment, it feels as though this show is being written by a child with attention deficit disorder who is in a playroom with like 10 different toys
and one door and it's snack time
and he left his scarf in the cupboard
and he can't decide whether to wash his hands or play with toys or get his scarf or leave the room, and he keeps doing each little thing for like a second, and you think, oh yeah, something's gonna happen with this spaceship toy, and then he just drops it, and then he goes and plays on the computer.
And he's like, oh look, I got this cool Fitzwilliam toy, and he's like, look, he's like shooting this bird, and I'm done with this.
Yeah.
Better rip its head off.
Yeah. We do have, not that I'm defending the fact that they killed off their only main black character.
Yeah.
But we do have Cream.
The gangster guy.
The gangster guy.
Oh, yeah. He's back.
But that's just so stereotypical.
I know. It is stereotypical.
Cream is a stereotype, whereas Fitzwilliam was actually, like, a intelligent, like, character with a lot
thoroughly
of backstory.
Character.
Yeah, exactly.
His father worked for Palmer, had a huge history with Palmer. Fitzwilliam's worked for Palmer so long, the only guy who might know some information. Let's just get him bit.
Yep.
I thought for a second, like, because he got bit by a spider kid, like, that maybe there was, like, a difference and, like, he was somehow going to not be turned.
Or I thought, I was like, give him the virus. give him the virus and send him into the freaking vampire nest of nests. Like, let him be a martyr. Let him die for the cause instead of just spilling his blood needlessly.
I thought they'd just cut his leg off immediately.
No, they tried that with Sean Astin.
Yeah,
right?
they cut his cheek open.
No, they cut his cheek open. The cheek is like where your brain is and everything. There's no way. But like his leg, it has to travel all the way up. Like if Satrakian had just lopped it off right then, like that's so Satrakian.
Hmm. Hmm. I mean, it's possible. Like, I mean, it would have been basically season two of The Walking Dead.
I know.
But not that it frees it, but I feel like the show has established that they move quicker than that. Even if that seems like ridiculously quick, I feel like it's been established as the
rule.
They're
even faster than Spider Kids.
I swear if next episode they call up his brother and like, hey, we need you now, I'm going to be like, really?
No, Steven, worms are the Spider Kids of the blood, okay? They travel very fast, they are blind, and
but
they can
why?
Climb up walls.
But why?
Cell walls.
That would be a cheap shot if they called up his brother and they're like, hey, killed your brother, but we'd like you to join our group.
And he'll be like, no! There are no vampires on Staten Island! Goodbye! Period. Look, I want to talk about one more thing with Ephraim Goodweather's sex romp.
the children's book written by Matt Lieberman.
Did the National Guard, the four-star general of the National Guard, contact Stoneheart? Because it seemed like he had an in with Stoneheart, and maybe that's how Stoneheart found him?
I feel like I feel like Stoneheart has its hands in almost everything in every industry. So even if he didn't contact Stoneheart directly, maybe whoever he contacted Stoneheart.
One, he's straight out of Commando. The very first scene in Commando. He's straight out of that. And two, I believe that he pitched it to different people. So even though Ephraim said no way, I'm sure a file goes across the desk of every other person who could fund this thing.
Or maybe Stoneheart found him already because they knew that the real head of the CDC was tossed off of a train, and they took that as a sign that that's where F was.
Or they just, like, have access to facial recognition software, which even in real life is, like, pretty effective at tracking someone down when they're going through government areas.
No, but Zach, he's bald now. He's bald now, and he's wearing bald. A tie. Obviously, he is Darren Cross.
They won't even be able to get a hair sample.
He clearly just shrunk down whenever he needed to avoid cameras.
Yeah.
But I was actually, I mean, I would say I'm surprised, though, that, like, with all the stuff about the virus going on in the news and, like, it being obviously able to trace back to the plane, that nobody in Washington, D.C. recognizes F as the guy from television.
He's bald.
It's different.
It's different. Sailor Moon syndrome.
Yeah.
Guys, it's been 2 weeks. News dies after 3 days.
It's true.
No,
if
now on the news.
Somebody who was kind of nationally wanted on the news, would you forget what they looked like, Unabomber?
Pretty much.
Yeah. Almost immediately.
Yeah. No, I agree.
We've got impeachment talks to talk about.
Yeah, which, what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The president is being impeached because he let a virus break out in New York City.
People are sick.
How?
Impeach the president.
Damn you, Obamacare.
It was either that or sleeping with the intern. They chose the wise one to go after him for.
Like, it's just like that. I get they're trying to say there's unrest in the government, but that makes
no sense.
You know, I was about to say that makes no logical sense, but think about the Republicans right now. If something was to happen, like, you could even, like, in some crazy way point it at Obama, they would jump on it in a heartbeat.
It's 12. Yeah.
That said, ridiculous.
All right, before we move on, before we talk anymore, I want to briefly mention my friend iTunes. Because, guys, the best way to support AfterBuzz TV is to go rate and review the shows that you listen to or that you watch on YouTube. It is quick, it is easy, and it does not cost you a single solitary dime. And dimes are precious, okay? So, go to iTunes, find the show, rate and review. You get a nice shout out here on the show, and it's the best way to make sure that we stay in business for a long time to come. Because you see, AfterBuzz TV puts out over 100 hours of free after show content every single week.
It's too many hours.
It's too many hours. It's a massive undertaking, and no one else is doing it. Okay? So, you also get a great shout-out here.
We said that we would do it in Satrakian's voice.
Oh.
But but nobody did it.
There's one that I can read in Satrakian's voice.
Do it.
Great podcast. 5 stars by Carrie and 40. This is an awesome podcast. I very much like there being a mix of those who have read the books and those who have not. I would definitely recommend this podcast to any fan of the strain. Strigoi!
Was it just signed Strigoi?
No, I added that.
Oh, okay.
So thank you very much, Carrie on 40. Send in your reviews to Evan Red in the Satrakian voice.
And wash the peanut butter off your hands before you type them
Yeah,
up.
It's real sticky. You might stick to that keyboard forever.
Actually, I'm going to one-up that. They will read it in any voice you ask them to read it in.
If you put it at the end of the comment.
A challenge, eh? Yep.
Challenge accepted.
Notice I did not add myself to this challenge. I just said
you just
they
pimped
would
us
do
out.
That.
Don't worry, Jackie does a great Angel de la Plata. Jamaican accent.
Yeah, man.
Who's Jamaican on this show? No one.
Angel de la Plata.
He's not Jamaican.
How do you know? Maybe he self-identifies as a Jamaican. Get your pronouns right.
His name is Angel de la Plata.
Let's just
Matt
go.
Hates me so much right now.
Let's talk about our good pal, Satrakian. He's still on the hunt for the
occipital lobe.
The lumen.
The lumen. Let's just call it the lumen. No cream this week. Instead, he has enough time to... I don't understand how he does not understand Palmer's motives, considering that he knew him at the time.
Palmer's motives seemed pretty obvious at the time, but I mean, I guess that could be because we've already seen him now and then back then, but he wanted the lumen back then, so I don't see why...
Satrakian could never have predicted Coco Marchand.
Mm-mm.
I mean, I
that
guess the
scene,
question
that scene is so weird.
The question about Palmer's motivation is, what does he get from being partners with the master? Like, okay, he's healed now.
Yeah.
Like, so let's take it to where he is now. If he has all the power in New York. Mm-hmm. If he actually wanted to now turn on the master, he's already positioned as the good guy.
What are you laughing at?
I'm sorry, I just heard. I'm sorry.
What?
Steve's having a personal moment.
I just heard if Palmer actually wanted to turn on the master.
You mean turn the master on? If he wanted to turn the master on, he would have to seduce Coco that much
I'm
harder.
So sorry.
Well, he did have it naked.
Listen,
he wants
to be a Strigoi, an elevated Strigoi, because once he is one, it won't matter that he is a virgin.
Well, Coco might change that.
I don't think so.
So is it just immortality?
Coco, he still has parts to do Coco.
Seriously, because they are going to fall off. Yeah. I don't know what he thinks happens to them.
I bet he doesn't know about that yet.
Yeah. He's cuckoo for Coco.
How great would it be if he finally turns and he's like, oh no!
We're so immature.
Yeah, it's true though. He's in a position now where all of New York respects and loves him.
Mm-hmm.
And if he wanted to turn on his employers, I mean, I guess he could, but at the same time,
yeah, I guess it's just immortality. That's what he's after,
right? And it would implicate him.
He's been sick for so long;
he's
literally
life.
Dying. So this way, he doesn't have to die.
Well, the city wouldn't. Nobody would question him if he just denies everything and is like, "We must fight this menace." And like, who's going to come out and say, "No, he was working with them"?
Someone who can prove it.
Somebody in the chat says Nicholas Villaspoli says, "Is everyone going to ignore that Abraham used his phone? Is the internet working again?"
Yeah, I noticed that.
He used his phone for what?
He called. Who did he call?
No, it was landlines.
Oh, okay.
She called them, and it was a landline phone at Fett's place.
Got it.
It was not a cell phone, as far as I'm sure. And also, you don't need the internet to have a cell signal. Just data won't go through.
Okay.
Yeah.
But they were...
Can we?
They were trying to establish, like, they reestablished an episode that you can't get calls into New York. Like, the bartender was like, "I'm trying to reach my brother, like, every hour." I guess maybe his brother.
No, that was in D.C.
But like,
the circuits are so busy outside of New York.
That he just can't get
can't
through?
Go into New York. I know. Can I? It's so inconsistent.
This is the problem, though, is it's inconsistent and I can't keep track of what the real situation is.
Yes.
Can I throw out here a possibility of Palmer not really going for immortality and what he actually wants to be is become a master?
Because
he's still looking for the Oxido Lumen. He's still got trump cards against the master. And we even got teased that when Ikerst talked to him and was like, can we be sure that you have no more tricks up your sleeve?
Well, the problem is, I don't know if Palmer knows this or not, but when you become the master, you're no longer yourself.
I don't mean the master, I mean a master.
Those are ancient.
Well, but does Palmer know that?
And does the Oxido Lumen have the key to keeping yourself intact and becoming a master?
Maybe it has a way, like we know that this is this little network of ancients, a way to create a new one, maybe.
I don't know. He's ambitious, but I feel like that's not as important to him as being immortal.
And the master found a way to shield his thoughts from the other ancients. So if he could find out about that, how to do that, and became a vampire, couldn't he become a master in his own right to have his own conscience and block the thoughts of other people and not be controlled?
I think he's effectively looking to become whatever Quinlan is.
No, I think he wants to be more powerful than that.
Well, he doesn't know.
Pretty powerful to be able to talk to the ancients like that with such
disrespect.
And
he seems independent.
Yeah. He's not beholden to any master.
Mm.
Yeah. He seems like a master in his own right. If I don't know if that's
Quinlan's
true.
Quinlan's something different, though. He's a daywalker.
He's a daywalker.
I know, but like...
The only thing I don't get, though, is we have this last scene where he says, oh, I need a team of people who can walk out in the day, but he's a daywalker.
He needs more people to hunt in daylight.
But yeah, he needs a team and he can't turn anyone, because I guess that's...
And that's where we get Angel...
De la Plata.
De la Plata.
Yes. So
this is his team. It's an old wrestler with a broken ankle.
A broken knee.
One guy who like really knows what he's doing and the chick that he really
and
likes.
And the beautiful, beautiful waitress.
Yes. Oh, yeah. These guys on the panel don't know her name I don't either, so they just wrote pretty.
We're Team Vallarta.
Yeah, I'm freely willing to admit I know it's wrong. I do not know her name. It was not mentioned this episode, so I wrote Gus, Angel, and pretty.
I think Gus is pretty, too.
He is pretty.
But not as pretty as pretty.
To be fair, no.
He was in Southpaw, too, wasn't he?
Was he?
Gus?
Yeah.
I didn't see Southpaw.
Oh.
From the writer of The Bastard Executioner.
No. We shall not talk about that show.
Anyway, Gus, Angel, and pretty.
Yes, Gus, Angel, and pretty. Gus, I guess now that he has no home... And no ancients to go back to in his own mind.
He wants to hang out at the Tandoori place.
He just spends all his time there making eyes at her. How is she supposed to study pulmonology?
I'm still confused about why he was there in the first place.
I'm still confused about why a Latin family owns a Tandoori restaurant.
They're not Latin.
No, her dad was the guy who came out with the delivery take this.
The family is not Latin.
Is Indian.
It's just, yes. Okay. It's just on
him. I think it's just a place for him to hang out. It's his clubhouse where people hate him.
So he can have a 20-minute conversation with Angel that wasted a lot of time about who he was.
Yeah. And Angel finally was you happy? I am Angel de la Plata.
That is who I am.
Great. Okay. We've established that now. We could have established that last week, then we totally established it. But, all right. It's established. Re-established.
I want another 10-minute intro of a show watching old videos of Angel de la Plata.
I can't wait for another scene where we reiterate something from another episode of the show, where she's like, you need to see this. This is a piece of a movie that he's watched over and over and over again. It's that piece of that movie that we watched him watching earlier.
It almost looks like they broke his knee in it. That must be why he's watching it.
It's not. It's too bad we can't like watch more that might reveal more information about what the context is.
What I thought they were
going to
do is show that he was watching a different part of that same movie where he was fantasizing about killing vampires, not pitying himself for busting his knee, which is exactly what he's been doing.
Yeah,
It's wasting our time. Furiously.
I'm just confused what he's doing. Like, I'm confused about this whole thing. Like, what is he doing there? What, just how did Gus get into this situation? I get once he got in there, he's like, pretty girl. I'm gonna come back.
Yeah.
But, I don't know.
He's homeless. He needs a home. Yeah. Now the Tandoori place is his home.
So they go and they deliver a bunch of Indian food to a an apartment up in Harlem.
Okay, I want to be a post-apocalyptic delivery person. Because you get $50.
$100 for Indian food. A $50 tip. It wasn't a tip.
$50 delivery.
Yeah, charge. No, that's not a tip. That delivery fee goes right to the restaurant.
Yeah, it was a 25-cent tip.
Yep. But terrible. She's the daughter of the people who own the restaurant.
She's the daughter of
so
the CDC.
So she pocket that?
That money is going to her education to become
she
a
She's the head of the Tandoori restaurant.
She's not the head of the Tandoori.
She's the head of the Tandoori restaurant.
Not the head of the Tandoori restaurant.
Which means that assassins have no effect on her because she's the head of something.
Nope. Not true.
That's not how things work.
I like how Gus has just spring-loaded silver axes in his arms, I guess.
That
fight scene.
That makes sense. I mean, we saw him train.
Fight scene.
We saw him training.
Yeah. Good fight scene.
Yeah, and I liked it, even as in his old state, Angel had a move. He had an old school wrestling move where he pinned the vamp to the wall.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was the end of that storyline because we didn't need any more information.
It's too bad we didn't highlight the pinning thing so we could say, "Oh, you really are Angel de la Plata." Nope. Why did we do that?
Done that through action that we already had in the script.
So one of the predictions said in the chat was that Angel is going to meet with Quinlan and Gus, and they're going to cure Angel.
Cure his leg?
Cure his leg using the vampire way.
Oh, do it like what they did to Palmer.
And that's how they're going to get him to start fighting for...
Cool. I
can see that.
That'd genuinely be fun. Like this idea.
So hopefully we can see that video six or seven more times before they do that.
I'm terrified that as much as I like this idea, it will not happen, and something far lazier and crazier will happen, and it will be another wasted opportunity.
Did you know that Angel can climb on walls?
No, he cannot.
He can't.
It's the curry. The curry gives him that power.
Curry is decidedly not sticky.
Quesadillas and curry.
No.
Curry is slippery, if anything.
Yeah. So, Quinlan. He's awesome. I like him.
I want to see him wield that sword.
Bone sword.
I need to note that the bone sword was in the books. I listened to the books as an audiobook, so I don't have the ability to go back and look at the book to see certain passages because they are in disc form. Yes, I listen to books on disc.
Wow, you sound like you're some kind of kid who's blind and needs to listen to things.
Boo.
Because I sit in 8 million hours of traffic.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that is
Jackie
why
can
I
walk on walls.
Brought to you by Audible.com.
Not actually.
Go to audible.com/AfterBuzzTV to get a free audiobook in 30 days.
That's not a thing.
Audible does not sponsor us, but you can go there and get books.
But you can call us
Audible. You can get some great Jif peanut butter from the store, which will allow you to walk on walls.
No, it won't. Look,
anyway.
As much as I was bummed that Vaughn got killed, and I'm not entirely convinced that this is the epic entrance that was promised by Chuck Hogan as the reason why Vaughn
Shrimp
was...
Shrimp truck?
Yeah. I mean, what is more epic than a truck full of frozen shrimp? I mean, honestly.
Nothing.
Epic. I like that it's frozen shrimp.
Frozen.
Because that makes it sound like there's a bunch of Greeks that are going to pop out of
it. It's a frozen horse. You think it's shrimp, but it's actually a vampire.
I just imagine the homeless guy grabbing the truck and going into the back and be like, these things haven't even.
Mm-hmm. Also, frozen shrimp, it's not the same.
He's like, this is gonna spoil tomorrow. What am I supposed to do with this?
Yeah. With the blast shield down, I can't even see. How am I supposed to fight? Ugh. Sorry, that was just the tone that she used. Yeah, I'm excited to see Quinlan get going.
But
it's
I don't
a bummer
like that Quinlan seems kind of like a dick. Like, Vaughn was like... He was assertive, and he knew what he was doing, but he wasn't a dick.
He was gruff,
Quinlan's
but
just
fair.
Like, Quinlan's just like, nobody knows what they're doing.
The city's a machine, all right? I don't
New York
like it.
Sucks.
I liked Stonehenge.
Fuck you, New York.
I liked the heads on Easter Island. That was a cool thing. You know, I like the Basilica, but what?
I have city? A question. If he's like, we need human hunters that can walk around during the day if you have any left, who was his driver?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be one of the human hunters?
Well, he could just need more.
Sister.
It was not Fitzwilliam's sister.
They're not all related.
I just, I get really it. Hope that she gets more time. Like, can she have?
No, she's going to get as much time as Bolivar's assistant person did, who is missing. And
let's talk about this scene. So much fun watching Eichhorst watch his destiny get passed on to Bolivar.
Can somebody please edit us together the video of The Simpsons where it's like you can detect the one moment where his heart is ripping to shreds with Ralph Wiggum and replace it with Eichhorst watching the master give his powers to Bolivar.
No, master here.
He just the look in his eyes when like Bolivar master looks down at him and he's just like, what?
Like some high quality face acting.
There's nothing hotter than getting worms just blasted in your face.
I can't be the only person who was laughing hysterically through this scene.
It was goofy.
There was a big, gigantic man ass in this scene.
You get a nice heaping helping.
That was the least of the problem.
Nice heap. Well, that's not a problem. That's progressive for television.
That's
There's
how
so
you
much
turn the master
nudity,
on.
And we finally
speaking
get some hot heaping man ass.
Speaking as the only person on this panel who is interested in men, I assume I'm the only person on this panel who's interested in men.
I would assume.
The master, I had no desire to see his ass whatsoever.
But
none.
It's huge.
None.
You're
no.
just killer. You're just you're
big,
in the minority of
big,
viewers.
Gray, wormy ass.
Dying.
And I did not need to see that.
Yeah.
And right after he vomits.
Okay,
just
and
projectile.
You can quote me on this. There was not enough vomit.
No, not nearly enough. When the ancient vomited on him when he was just a living giant, there was tons of vomit and tons of worms.
I mean,
was like a handful of worms.
I mean, he still
had worms in his face when he died. You didn't vomit all the worms.
I would say maybe he doesn't have as many in him because he's been so badly hurt.
Maybe.
And he looks like he's still hurt. So I could forgive them that.
Yeah.
You know what's interesting is, though, if you look at the master after he's changed to Bolivar, he resembles Quinlan more than the ancients.
Hmm.
That is fascinating.
So if you look at it, Quinlan could just be an ancient.
A young ancient.
A younger ancient.
Yeah, they're super old and withered. So
maybe
you might
they just
be
haven't changed
there.
Bodies. Maybe they just haven't changed hosts.
Yeah, I mean, if they don't feel the need to, the master's the only one, like, running around trying to do stuff.
It's true.
They also aren't getting attacked by sunlight and, like, Armenian Jews with silver swords.
Maybe the transference ceremony, like, that he's doing is what blocks the mental thing and prevents him from being in a hive mind. Maybe the ancients just don't know how to transfer their bodies.
Maybe they were all brothers, and then he transferred his body, and that's what keeps him... I don't know.
Well, because then Quinlan can't be controlled by the ancients either. So Quinlan could be a master.
That seems unlikely because Vaughn and his team were, and I know,
trained
granted,
by
like
Quinlan.
Yeah, well, trained by Quinlan, which I like that. It like that was cool. I guess it's just more reason of like why aren't you just keeping Vaughn and his people around?
Danger Dan 3 says Bolivar is already a vampire, so he doesn't need as many worms.
No.
Yeah, but he needs the master's... The thing is, the master, to be able for that body to die, all the worms have to evacuate that body.
Hot
those
master
are the master worms.
And if you want some hot master worms, call now! $35.99 three easy payments. Go ahead and hit that thumbs up button right now if
don't
you could.
Don't do it, you'll start a plague.
Steve, it's time for predictions.
Oh, did that start at the beginning of the show?
No.
Now.
That was the complaints segment. Complaints and befuddlement. This is predictions. Zach.
I mean, I think we're going to see Quinlan just, like, piecing together his team of Angel, Gus, and Pretty. Somebody please tell us what her name is.
I feel so awful.
But they didn't say, like, this is the thing. When you establish a new character, you have to help us learn the name. Because it's easy to miss. I think that they're absolutely going to be his new team. Mm-hmm. My only question is, when will Quinlan and our team cross paths? and what happens at that point. Because we never...
Well, that's even case in point. If we didn't already know that his name was going to be Quinlan from Jackie and from people online who were talking about Quinlan...
And last year's closed captioning.
Yeah, we would have no idea that his name is Quinlan.
I'm Vaughn.
Well, but he also doesn't... granted, he doesn't need a name yet. It's almost... there's a sense in which he's... It's almost like better off that way.
Sure, mysterious.
He's more mysterious. But it's easier to talk about him when you know what his name is.
Hippie Panda says Anya is her name, I believe. Anya Gupta.
Anya Gupta. Okay.
That's a pretty
good
name.
Anya.
It's great.
Yep.
What do you predict?
Are you talking to me?
No, I want Zach to finish, and then I want you to say what you predict.
I think I'm out for now.
Steven.
I had a really good one, and I think I might have lost. Okay, no, I have it back again. I think we're going to see a much more cold-blooded eye curse now.
Hmm.
Much, much more cold-blooded. I would love to see a scene where we see eye cursed with makeup, and he's, like, doing something, and we don't know what he's doing, and he's talking, and the camera pans around to him doing makeup for Zach's mom, and she looks human, and she looks normal.
I could see that.
That'd be cool.
I think now that Zach's seen her in her zombie form, like, attacking him,
yeah.
I think if she was to walk up to him in the eye-cursed mode, looking human and looking made up like his mom, I think that could lure him out, and that could be how they get Zach.
I agree. The thing that's most pressing and interesting to me is how F's going to get himself out of this pickle.
Yes. How the F's he going to do it?
Three dead bodies, and his only sample of his virus is now owned, basically, by this company that has no reason to give it back to him.
I think he's going to go to the meeting that she had set up, because she had wanted him to go with him and to go with her, and now she's not going. I think they're not going to find the bodies. I think he's going to go to the meeting alone and try to sell it.
Go to the meeting alone?
Go to the meeting. I think he's going to announce that he's Ephraim Goodweather, the head of the CDC.
No.
It's not going to happen.
The real head's dead. He's the next head.
If you kill the head, don't you then take over his place? That's how politics works.
If you cut off one head, two will emerge. What is the Hydra thing?
Two will take its place.
Two will take its place, exactly. All right.
No, it's like Game of Thrones. Like, you kill the king, so you get to become the king.
Sure.
No.
I want another flashback with the young guys.
Satrakian?
Young Satrakian.
And yes.
I would love more young Satrakian.
Me too. All right, guys, I want to thank you all so much for listening to this show or watching it on YouTube. We're here live every single Monday at 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So come join us, chat online, live with us, and tweet at us using the hashtag ABTVStrain. Zach Wilson, where can the people find you?
You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at ThatZachWilson, ThatZachWilson. And later tonight here on the Dominion After Show with Jackie Borowski.
You guys can find me on Twitter at Stephen Lemieux, StephenLemieux, as well as doing the Graceland After Show this Wednesday and the Killjoys finale next Monday. Somebody in the chat says, I feel like the National Guard's testing of the Strigoi virus is going to go horribly, horribly wrong.
That sounds good to me.
That sounds good. You can find me on my website, 123jackieb.com. That's where my Twitter, my Instagram is. And you can find me on the Under the Dome After Show because... why not?
Because it's a terrible show. And you can find me on Twitter at Matt Lieberman, MattLieberman, SourceFed, SourceFed Nerd, and YouTube.com/MattLieberman, making videos 4 days a week. Thank you all so much. See you next week. Goodbye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
But why do they climb on walls?
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principal.